to anybody who's come to see somebody they know get baptized. Just really nice to have you with us. We've got lots of family and friends in, and we're a little bit full today, but just a really, really warm welcome to you. Great to have you with us. I'm actually going to, because we have so many baptisms today, I'm actually going to suspend my King David series just by 1 week. So I'm going to actually finish that series next Sunday. And today I'm just bringing a bit of a shorter message. In the first service, we had 6 baptisms. And in the second, we've got 7. And that ends up, that's great, a great thing. Absolutely great. But what it does mean logistically is that that takes time. And so I'm going to do a slightly shorter message today, and we're going to favor the baptisms and give, basically 7 people. You're going to hear their testimonies about how they have formed a relationship with Jesus. They're going on public record as to that, and they're going to tell you some things. So you're going to hear some kind of, not just a short message from me, but you'll hear some messages from each of our baptismal candidates today. They're very moving. Baptism services are moving occasions. So we just want to just kind of declare a blessing upon each of those lovely people as they take that step today. I want to open this morning a little bit by, first of all, you can point your phone, I should say that, to that QR code up there. It takes you into our YouVersion app, and our notes are there, and the Bible passage is there. You can follow along from there. But I want to open by asking you a question. Have you ever really wanted to meet someone? Have you ever really wanted to meet someone? Someone you admire, somebody that you really like, somebody that maybe that you follow, or you listen to their music, or you watch them play sport. I don't know if that's ever happened to you where you've really wanted to meet a hero of yours. I've noticed that in my life, my tastes around this kind of who this might be has morphed. You know, in my 20s, it was probably football players and racing car drivers, things like that, musicians maybe. And nowadays, it's more kind of authors of books that I admire. A few years ago, about 2018, 2019, something like that, just before the pandemic, a group of us had a chance to go down to London to see a New York pastor called Timothy Keller. Now, sadly, Timothy Keller's passed away recently. He was in his late 70s, and he's just recently died, which is a great shame. But he's written loads and loads of books, and he's a pioneer pastor in the city of New York, and he's founded a church called Redeemer Church. And it's just lots of things about him and about his ministry that I look at and think, wow, that's just amazing. You've done such a great work in the Lord, and you're such a great guy, and I really admire you. And so when I heard that he was coming to the UK to this convention in London, I thought, oh yeah, I'll get a chance to meet him. Maybe if I take one of his books with me, I can kind of blag a way to get him to sign it and to sort of say hello and stuff. And he was up for that. So we went down on the train to London, there's a few of us, and we got into this kind of convention center, and he did this great message. There's only about 200 people there. And now he wasn't really open to chatting too much. He's a very busy guy, got a strict schedule. But I did manage to, I kind of got my book, and I brought the book here. This is the book. This is a book called Center Church. The Americans don't spell center correctly, but, you know, there we go. But he's written this great book, and I'm still working my way through this. It's a great kind of manifesto on how to build church. And so I took this book with me down on the train, and I kind of got my way to the front. And I had a little moment with him in which he said, don't talk to me. And it's basically like him saying, listen, don't like take up lots of my time because I'm a very busy guy, which I totally respect. But I managed to blurt out, would you sign your book that you wrote, please? And so he did. And so in the front here, it says, to Nick, God bless you, Tim Keller. Look at that. There you go. How cool is that? Now, you might not think that is cool, but in my world, that is super cool. I was so, so pleased to get that done because I really admired him and I really wished to see him. Hold that idea in mind and jump with me in your YouVersion Bible app on your devices or in your physical Bible, if you have one, to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to just take in a short little story where a guy has this really strong wish to meet someone he admires, a bit like me with Tim Keller. This guy is called Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector, and he's absolutely really motivated by this idea of, hey, I just want to meet Jesus. I've heard about him. I admire him. Will I get the chance to meet him? Will he speak to me? Maybe not. Maybe he will. And he goes on this kind of little bit of adventure to try and see if he can meet with Jesus. So follow along with me. They should put the text up on the screen in just a moment. So he, that's Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "He's gone to stay with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much." Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus referring to himself, has come to seek and to save the lost. I really like that story. It's just a short story. It only appears in Luke's gospel. And it's about a guy who has this desire to meet his hero, basically, or meet someone that he's heard about, and he gets his chance. Lovely story. So let me just take you through, just very briefly, a few thoughts I've had on this story. Now, just before we get into that, you need to understand that Zacchaeus, being a tax collector, was not especially popular. And what you have to understand in Israel at the time was that they had an occupation from a foreign nation, the kind of the Roman Empire. And so they extracted taxes from the Jewish people, and that went to the Romans. And so the Jewish people saw Zacchaeus as a bit of a turncoat or a kind of traitor, because he was taking their money and giving it to their Roman overlords. And so he was pretty disappointed. You know, they were disappointed in him, and he was a bit of an outcast. And so that's the setting for the story. He's obviously making lots of money doing this, but he's not right in the heart of the community's favor and liking before this story takes place. Now, I've spotted five things that go on between Zacchaeus and Jesus, just very, very briefly, five things, and they are hallmarks or characteristics of people going on a journey about their connection to Jesus. And in a sense, what I want to do is bring this message to those of us here in the building today and also online who don't normally come to church. Perhaps you're here today and you've come to see a friend or a family member or someone that you love get baptized, and you're like, not sure about Jesus for myself, but I'm really pleased that you're doing it. My message is just for you guys, and the rest of us can kind of listen in. The first thing that I notice is that there's a wish. There's a wish going on, and I don't mean a magical wish. I mean a wish like a desire, a kind of a want. Just like I wanted to go and see my hero, Tim Keller, and get my book signed by him, and I was really pleased when I realized that want. There's a wish inside Zacchaeus to meet Jesus. He wants to do it. He's very keen to meet him. In fact, he climbs a tree in order to see that wish fulfilled. Now, I want to say to us this morning, if there's even the tiniest scrap of a wish inside you to find out more about Jesus, can I just put it to you that you're on a dangerous journey? You are on a dangerous journey, because what's going to happen is that wish is going to get met by Jesus one way or another, and it's going to grow slowly. And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to be something that will begin to get under your skin a bit, and you'll want to follow it up a bit more and more and more and more, and you'll become a little bit like Zacchaeus. So what I also want to say is, if Jesus is a great respecter of people, and if you have no wish at all, he's just going to be very polite about that, and he's not going to chase you, and you're not going to have an encounter. That's cool. But if you've got any tiny kind of curiosity in there, Jesus is going to be kind of honoring that and making himself apparent to you. So it starts with a wish. And then number two, it goes into an encounter. Zacchaeus had a personal encounter with Jesus for himself. He actually got to meet his hero. He climbed a tree, and then he was hoping that, you know, yeah, obviously he gets to see Jesus properly. And then Jesus actually pauses, turns around, looks up at him, and actually chats to him. You know, Tim Keller actually said, "Don't talk to me." Do you know, that is actually talking to me. Can I just say that? You know, he actually said something to me, and he signed my book. We had a little meeting. We had an encounter. So I'm delighted with just that. That's great. I met my hero. Zacchaeus has an encounter with Jesus. And I think it starts with a wish. And if you have a wish to meet with Jesus or find out a bit more about him, do you know what? Something sooner or later is going to change in the fabric of your life, where you will have some kind of a meeting with the King of creation. It's coming. That's why it's dangerous to have a wish to meet with Jesus, because he will honor that. He absolutely will. And you're going to have a personal encounter of some kind or another. Something you can't explain, something incredible will happen, even if it's low level, and things will start to change. So Jesus meets with Zacchaeus because they have an encounter. An encounter is a meeting with someone, isn't it? So when you bump into somebody, that then happens. So number one is a wish. Number two is an encounter. Number three, very quickly, we see a change of heart. We see a change on the inside of Zacchaeus. He very quickly makes a transition from being this money-grabbing guy who's intent on building wealth to being someone who has a change of heart about the impact he has on the people around him. He starts thinking, oh, okay, maybe I have extorted some people. Maybe I've got a little bit too much here. Maybe the reason that I don't have many friends is because I've not treated my community that well. I've been more in favor of with the Romans than I have with my own nation. And so his compassion starts to shift. It starts to move a little bit. And he becomes a little bit less about self. And he becomes a little bit more concerned about the people around him. That's the Jesus effect right there. If you have a little bit of curiosity about Jesus and then you move on to an encounter with Jesus and it's a genuine encounter, what's then going to happen is that there's going to be a change on the inside of you where your compassion gets molded a bit by Jesus and you start to have more thoughts about the people around you. Then number four, there's a change of status. So Zacchaeus is this outcast, he's not favored. And then Jesus says something incredible to him. He says, he too is a son of Abraham. And what he's doing by saying that is he's bringing him back into the fold of the Jewish nation. Instead of being an outcast, instead of being a social pariah, instead of being someone that people would have looked down on and kind of kept their distance from and hid away from so that he couldn't get their money, he suddenly becomes central to community. He actually belongs in the Jewish nation again because Jesus speaks that over him and reinstates him. And so there's a change of status goes on. And then number five, we suddenly realize that what's going to happen is Zacchaeus is going to have some new friends. He's going to have a whole bunch of new friends. He's going to be friends with the people who've also decided to have an encounter with Jesus. And what you see around you in this church here in BCC is a whole bunch of friends of Jesus who are also friends with each other because they've met with Jesus and we've met with Jesus. He's also going to have a friendship with Jesus himself because Jesus has met him and he's gone around to his house and presumably they've had a bite to eat and they've had a chat and maybe a bit of a party. And then he's going to be friends with some of the people in his community that he is returning some of that money to. Some of those people will be like, oh, wow, Zacchaeus, you've changed. Wow, thank you so much for that money back that you shouldn't have taken from me. So suddenly we're going to have a change in status for Zacchaeus around the friendship network that he has. So let me take you through those again. There's a wish. It starts with a wish, and sometimes that wish for some of us can be pretty dangerous because it's going to take us on a path to an encounter. And then after an encounter, there's going to be a change of heart. But it's a great change of heart. It's a good change of heart because your compassion towards others often changes when Jesus meets with you. Then there's a change of status. Very often, we might feel lonely. We might feel on the outside. We might feel we don't belong. And suddenly, when we meet with Jesus, he reinstates all of that and mends all of that and fixes all of that in a great way. And then, of course, the outcome from that is we have an amazing new friendship network. Lots and lots of people who know us. And we have a major friend in the person of Jesus himself. I want to say to you that becoming a friend of Jesus is one of the most amazing things that you can ever do. So back in the 90s, I used to be quite a sort of cynical project manager in the world of IT. I didn't believe in Jesus. You know, that wasn't for me. I was like, you crackpots over there, you go ahead and do that. That's fine, but that's not for me at all. And then I was in a queue for a nightclub, and I met this very pretty girl called Chloe, and she was a Christian, and she can explain to you why she was in a queue for a nightclub. That you know, she will tell you that that was evangelism. And there was something in her that I was really drawn to. And it's not just because she's pretty. She had Jesus. She had a friendship with Jesus. And I went on a journey, and then I too became a friend of Jesus, much to my surprise. So if you'd have said to me in the mid-90s, oh, Nick, you're going to be a pastor in the center of Birmingham, I'd have gone, get away. That's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. Whereas, of course, Jesus comes along, and he gives you a change of heart. And then I suddenly found myself thinking, man, this is a great person to be around. I would really love it if loads, loads more people had a chance to be around Jesus because he's such a great friend to every single one of us who decide to receive his friendship. It actually says in the scripture that Jesus calls us his friends. It literally says it in the Bible. John 15:15 says this, I do not call you servants anymore. This is Jesus speaking. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. Jesus calls us his friend, and he extends the offer of friendship to all of us. The question is, are we going to kind of put up our hand and say, do you know what? That sounds like a good offer to me, Jesus. I'd love to be your friend. And what you're going to hear today from seven people who are going to go through the waters of baptism just behind me in a minute, they are saying that they have become friends with Jesus, and they're going on the record to tell you that. And you're going to hear all their testimonies up on the big screen. It's just awesome. We've got some lovely testimonies this morning of people who've decided, yeah, Jesus is my friend, and he's my friend for life. That's just a great, great thing. I wanted to finish my message this morning with a little video from a guy in the Evangelical Alliance, a guy called Phil Knox, and he's got a big thing on friendship. He loves to kind of teach on friendship and all that stuff, but his recognition is that friendship has its heart and source in a relationship with Jesus. It really does. And so what you'll see is you'll hear him bringing a great, it's a spoken word piece. It's really well done. And what you'll hear him doing is you'll hear him bringing this spoken word piece about the value of friendships, but woven into it is references to the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus. So watch the screen and take a look at this for a minute. Thank you.
We need friends. We got music and movies on demand. We got the world in the palm of our hand. We got fun trips, internships, play scripts and hair snips, film clips, fish and chips at the touch of our thumb tips. Need to lead or breed or feed your cat? Well, it turns out there's an app for that. But we need friends. We've got computers for a fiver, cars without a driver. We've got louder, faster, further, more, a bigger network than ever before. But we need friends. And friends are amazing. See, friendship is atomic. From the boardroom to the nursing home, from the coffee shop to the playground, it's relational connections that make the world go round. See, we were created to know and be known. It's better to eat kebabs with friends than salad on your own. And yet we trace in populous places, with strangers in rooms of familiar faces. We crave deeper meaningfuls, but experience anonymity. We dance superficially around the promise of proximity, and we need friends. And quantity is no substitute for quality. We need 5G HD 24 karat friends, lifelong, fight strong, tag along, forgive all wrong friends. Friends to talk through our problems personal. Friends to call when the cancer's terminal. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, your year, you just remember what your old pal said. We get by with a little help from our friends. And look to the one who made friendship possible, whose nail-pierced hands bridged a chasm uncrossable. His scandalous invitation follows the most glorious of amends. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. So celebrate with me the ship most worth sailing and follow the example of the friend unfailing. May we raise our game and drop our cover, invest our energies in one another. May we still be there when the rain starts to fall and accept the most important friend request of all, because we need friends.
Our worship team are going to lead us in a worship song. Our logistics people are going to come and take these covers off here, and there's some water here, and we're going to be baptizing people in just a moment. Come and join us, worship team. That'd be great. I just want to say to you that Jesus is the greatest friend that you could ever ask into your life. He really, really is. I love that spoken piece from Phil Knox. He's actually got a book out called Friends, if you want to look that up online and get that. He's a great guy. Jesus is the greatest friend that you can ever ask into your life. We're going to sing, and then we're going to do some baptisms. You up for that, BCC? Yeah? Come on, let's do it.